bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your ministry in our lives. And we just worship you. And we just ask that you would do what you want to do in this room this evening. Give us the grace to hear from you. Teach us by your Holy Spirit. Dominate our thinking. Help our meditation. And Lord, we just want to commit the time to you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I appreciate the mentioning of Perry Mason Pastor Matt this morning. My wife and I are a fan of Perry Mason, and when I think about Perry Mason, I think of when Perry Mason is there with a defendant who's been falsely accused, you know, of murder, and they're sitting there in that jail. And, you know, Perry's sitting across from him, and they're kind of dancing around stuff a little bit. And Perry Mason, he says, you need to tell me the truth. You know, and I think about that, and it's kind of like the Lord. When we're one-on-one with the Lord, he can really help us once we get honest with him. It's kind of like Perry Mason. He needs to know all the facts. The Lord knows all the facts, obviously, but that's what it reminds me of. This evening, what I want to do is take a look at a few verses in kind of a devotional style in Galatians here. I remember asking, every once in a while, I'll ask people questions, just basic questions, because I want to learn from them. It's not a test, but I remember asking Haji Henderson, Pastor Haji, some years ago, I said, you know, what does it mean to teach a devotional, or what is devotional style? And he had a very good, and I didn't know the answer, really. I mean, we hear this kind of language a lot, expositional, devotional, this kind of thing. And, we hear it a lot. And so I said, Haji, what's it mean? And he says, well, it's just, what is God saying to you? And so I want to kind of approach it that way. What's the Lord? That's a good question to ask ourselves. What's the Lord saying to you tonight? You know, what's the Holy Spirit want to talk to you about? What's the Lord want to talk to me about? So let's take a look here. So my objective here is just to have a little bit of background with respect to the book of Galatians, and then kind of zero in on the work of the Spirit and take a look at some things that have happened historically, and close it out with a little bit of application. So here we go. The purpose of the book of Galatians was Paul was writing this to the churches in Galatia under the direction of the Holy Spirit, because he needed to redirect them. The Judaizers were coming into Galatia, and they were infecting the churches with legalism, and specifically that these Christians had to obey the law of Moses, more specifically circumcision, in order to be saved, which of course does take away from the atoning sacrifice of Christ. And the Apostle Paul is quite a good arguer under the mantle of an apostle, and he comes in to set these Galatians straight, because this false teaching of legalism has crept in, and he wants to eradicate it immediately. And so he writes this letter and to free up the Galatians with respect to this business of Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus the law, and so forth. So it's Jesus alone. And so the Galatians were running well. They were doing well in the Lord, but then these false teachers crept in, and the Apostle Paul, being the good shepherd, has like a zero tolerance policy for false teaching. So he's going to come in, and he will very outstandingly and very pointedly confront that idea and redirect the Galatians, and doubtlessly at the same time refute any arguments that the Judaizers had. And he is a masterful arguer. He is really, really quite good, and he argues in a personal way via his own experience, kind of in chapter 1, and then a little bit later on he goes through and he'll argue from a scriptural way with respect to Abraham, and then a very logical way comparing, the law and the promise of God to Abraham. Then he comes in and he uses history with respect to the Jews, and he comes in and uses even sentiment with the Galatians there, and finally he tightens up his his arguments with an allegory with respect to Hagar and Sarah. And so he's quite a skillful arguer in that sense, doesn't leave anything open to doubt. And it's really, really crucial because of what Christ has done. And Christ gave the Galatians, as he has given us, the opportunity to be forgiven of our sin, which is the big problem, and to enter into a relationship with God that pleases him. And the law could never do that. And so now, in Christ, Jesus is in us. And so the Apostle Paul knows by personal experience the life on both sides of the fence. He knows what it's like to be a legalist. He knows what it's like to have Christ dwelling in him. And he knows that the legalistic position will stifle growth and it moves people from grace. And so he's quite forceful in his argument. There's a lot to lose. There's a lot to forfeit to move from grace to legalism. It's just a bad idea. And so he comes in and he's been crucified with Christ and he no longer lives, but Christ lives in him and the life he now lives, he lives by faith in Christ Jesus. And so consequently, he knows as a man, he can now pursue God's call on his life. The Apostle Paul is full of Jesus. He can pursue his call as a teacher, as a prophet, and as a pastor in the body of Christ and as an apostle. And he's now going to give these churches in Galatia some very sound reasons. And so in the immediate context of our verse here in chapter 5, verse 13, Paul says the reason that Christ has set us free is for freedom, verse 1 actually, and he gave us freedom to operate in him. And so he begins his argument in chapter 5, he kind of summarizes here in verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That is really the essence of the Christian life. So what really matters now is trusting and depending upon Christ as he manifests himself in our lives with a motive of love for God and for other people. And so this is the summary. It's the essence here. And so put another way, by faith it is possible to fulfill Christ's command to love our neighbor. William MacDonald put it this way. He said, legalism avails nothing. As far as a person who is in Christ, that is a Christian, is concerned, circumcision does not make him any better, and uncircumcision does not make him any worse. What God looks for in the believer is faith working through love. Faith is complete dependence on God. Faith is not idle. It manifests itself in unselfish service to God and man. The motive of all such service is love. Thus, faith works through love. It is promoted by love, not by law. This is a truth found many times in scriptures that God is not interested in rituals, but in the reality of a godly life. And so, having said that little bit of background, let's move into our text, verse 13. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, use not liberty for an occasion for the flesh, but by love serve one another. So now by speaking, to the brethren, he's speaking to born again believers, those who are in Christ and have a unique relationship to God because of the cross. And so he reveals the great fact of the Christian life. God has called them unto liberty, not to stay in the law of Moses or any other law, or any law that man can come up with, but they've been given freedom from the penalty and the power of sin. And it's quite a statement, because really sin is the main problem. And so the greatest problem of the world with respect to forgiveness has been solved for them, and he doesn't want them bound. So freedom in Christ here is really, the way I take a look at it, is to be all that we can be in Christ Jesus. It is to be all that we can be in Christ Jesus. And the law of Moses couldn't do this. We're free from the condemnation of the law and so forth. And so how are we to use this? Well, we are not to use it to fulfill the desires of the flesh. God has given us freedom for a specific purpose, and I would argue here in the text that it is really to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is the epitome of the law. That is the summary of the law, and that's what everything else really hangs on. And so by the power of the Holy Spirit, we now have a shot to do that. Before, we could not. And so God wants us to use our liberty to glorify him and to be a blessing. About 5 or 6 years ago, It was on Veterans Day, I think, somewhere around there. And my wife, Michelle, she was gone. And so I kind of had just some time to kick back and watch a film. And I was watching, I watched the film Saving Private Ryan. And it was a very, very good film. It was probably the second time I've seen it. And it's kind of a long film. And I was watching that. And, you know, many of you, I'm sure, have seen it. And what was happening in that film was the man, Private Ryan, was what, the third or fourth boy of a family where all the other boys had been killed. And so the mission for this captain and his men was to go save Private Ryan and to bring him home, to bring him home to his family. And it was interesting, in one of the last scenes there in the film, they're in this little German town, and they're going to have this little battle. And what happens is that they're engaged in this battle, and the captain, Tom Hanks, is about to die. And he looks at Private Ryan, and he says, "Don't waste it." In other words, we've made all this sacrifice to you for you. Don't waste it. Don't waste your life. And at the end of that film, where you see, you know, Private Ryan, now an older man, and he's coming to that cemetery to honor the people who laid down their lives for him. And he's an older man, and his face, his countenance is full of gratitude and humility. And as I saw that, I looked at that and I began to cry. I began to really just cry. And I don't cry often, not because I'm a tough guy, I'm just shallow. And really, it's no joke. So anyway, you know, and I started to cry there, and, you know, it really touched me. And so I kind of went downstairs and went to the spare bedroom, and I got on my knees, and, you know, I think the Holy Spirit was talking to me a little bit. And what I came away from with that prayer time was this: the best use of freedom is to use my freedom to make other people free. The best use of freedom is to use my freedom to make other people free. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to, is doing through Paul. He is arguing here so the Galatians will get out of the legalism and get free in Christ to pursue their call, so they can use their freedom to do what? To operate in the best use of freedom. And what is it? It's to what? To love your neighbor as yourself. That's really what it is. It's interesting when, you know, I read this, you know, and what Paul is doing, he's quoting Leviticus 19:18, and I look at that verse, you know, and I look at it, and it's rife through Scripture. It is a dominant theme. Moses uses it, Jesus uses it in Matthew 22:39, Luke 10:25-28, and also probably my favorite usage of it is in Matthew 7:12, where Jesus speaks there and he says, "So in everything," when in the context of prayer, you know, "do to others what you would have them do to you." So Paul quotes it again in Romans 13, and the Apostle James quotes it in his epistle. And so here we have this dominant theme running through Scripture, and it's a big idea, because they, when they speak of this, when Jesus speaks of this, or the Apostle Paul speaks of this two or three times, and then James speaks of this, he says what? All the law hangs on it. In other words, it's the target within the target. The Bible is the target to live, but within that, this is what we have. And there is no way to hit that target apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. To be free in Christ to do that, because if the Galatians are all bound up in legalism, or you and I are all bound up in legalism, we're going to be thinking about that other thing and not the center of the mark. And so it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so Jesus says, it sums it up, and it's a dominant theme. And so what is that theme? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So in Christ, we're free to do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't noticed in your own life and interacting with the body of Christ, to obey the Holy Spirit is always to love your neighbor as yourself. You see how that works? It works itself out. And it just so happens that the fruit of the Spirit, in terms of how he manifests himself in the lives of others, is just the way I want to be treated. How so? I love to be loved. I love to be around a joyful person who has that infectious joy of the Lord. I love to be in contact with a peaceful person. They're loving me as I would want to be loved in this context, you know. I love to be around somebody who's patient. I love to be touched by the kindness of somebody else, to really enjoy kindness. It's really wonderful to be a recipient of God's goodness working through somebody else's life. Faithfulness is another thing. I like to see that. It's a good example for me. It's nice to be, to be spoken to with the caress of gentleness. Gentleness is beautiful. The Lord is gentle. You know how He deals with you? He's gentle. I want to be like that. You know, whenever I goof up, you know, and He comes to me, whew, He is so gentle. And it's that same spirit that resides in you and me. And I want to be treated like that. And I want to treat other people like that. Man, I see how the Lord deals with me. I like it. I want to be like that, you know. And so through the power of the Holy Spirit, He allows us to do that. I also like being around people, you know, who are full of self-control. You know, where one time they were maybe a violent or an addict or a cusser or whatever. And now, boom, just the epitome of self-control. I enjoy that. There's hope, you know. And so the effects of the Holy Spirit in our lives are unquestionably the fulfillment of the law. And the Holy Spirit is doing it through us. It's wonderful. And that's a lot better than legalism. So the best use of freedom is to use my freedom to be what? Constantly full of the Holy Spirit. That's the mark, because He'll do it through us. So I want to talk a little bit now about kind of the Godhead a little bit. And before I get into some practical examples of this business. And so, you know, Moses gives us the account of God in the garden, you know, in the book of Genesis. Isn't God good to us? I mean, think about it, you know. All the trees everything in the garden you can have, except for that one over there. It's kind of like the modern day equivalent. You know, you go to Costco. What if God says, it's all yours? Or you're on a desert island and you've got a never-ending Costco. Everything but that. You know, I mean, it's just, there's freedom to enjoy what it is that God has given us. God is like that. He wants us to enjoy ourselves. I think of the prophets, Jeremiah 29:11, and I don't have time to go into a whole bunch of them, but we know, what the Lord spoke through Jeremiah. Very familiar. I know the plans that I have for you, you know, that are good and plans for you to prosper. You know, God wants good stuff to come to His people. I think about the Lord Jesus, when He is speaking to His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, and He's in the context of prayer, and what He's really doing there, He's revealing the nature of the Father, and He says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open. Here it is now. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him. So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. So He reveals the nature of the Father, and that's Jesus' business, is it not? He's showing us what God is like. He's God Himself, but He's revealing the nature of the Father. But He's showing that, in the same way that you want and believe that God will be open-handed to you and to have this kind of free-flowing thing, and Jesus is serious, and you know it by experience. When you ask for things that you know are His will, He does it. You know this. And so, in the same way, He wants us to think about other people, to have that same, you know, relationship. It was interesting. I was driving to the men's Friday morning. We have a meeting about 6:30 in the morning on Fridays. It's not about 6:30. It is 6:30. And I was driving and I was thinking about this verse. And sometimes it's good in my own mind to just do a little bit of time-to-time discipline. I'm at this stop sign. Okay, from here to the church, I am going to quote the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a good way to kind of practice, you know, having the scripture on your mind and stuff. And almost immediately, it was interesting what came to me. And you know what it was? It was, give others the benefit of the doubt. And that's really how I want to be treated. It really is. You know, as I was kind of meditating on that, I really believe the Holy Spirit was kind of teaching, and I got to practice it today. I'm sitting there thinking, something kind of happened, and I could have gone either way with my thinking on it. But I chose to give the benefit of the doubt. I don't say that because I'm all spiritual. I'm growing in the Lord, and that's what we do, right? You know? And it was so nice for my own soul just to think about that and give the other person the benefit of the doubt. My soul was blessed just by obeying the word here. I never even came into contact with the people. But the fact of the matter is, God's word works. You know? And so, In other words, with this passage here, God wants us to imitate his character toward others because that's really how we want to be treated. William MacDonald put it this way, the way to test whether an action is beneficial to others is whether we would want to receive it ourselves. And so as we look at the Godhead, we see God the Father pouring it out in the garden, being a blessing, and Jesus, of course, the incarnation. The incarnation, as we think about him, he knows what it's like for humanity. So God knew what it was like without him due to sin. And so he became one of us and he paid the price. He was doing to us what he would want that done if he was in the same position. And so he did it so that we could be free from the penalty, power, and one day the presence of sin. He was giving to us what we would want if we were sane, freed from the blindness of the devil, and had the horrific appreciation of hell and the delights of heaven. See, he knew all that. He was loving us as himself in that way. He used his freedom to make us free. We are a free people because of Jesus. That's the best use of freedom, and I'm so glad he did. I think about a pastor, for example, who was called by God to lead people and teach the Bible, you know, in a systematic way. And think about what he's called to do there. He's called to teach that book, to teach the Bible, and he's using his freedom to what? To make other people free by the working of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit uses the Word to transform our minds. That's what's happening. It's wonderful. I mean, I was just thinking about 2 weeks ago, the message that Pastor Damien gave, just talking about how, you know, even in the world, those who would say that they are open-minded are actually closed-minded when it comes to life and death stuff. See, that's the kind of stuff he's opening our minds. He's disseminating that idea so that we can disseminate it to other people to give freedom. That idea frees our minds. It frees my mind to really just cause the culture to think. This is how we're thinking. It causes us to think about our thinking, and it's erroneous, right? Because we are intolerant when it comes to pilots. When I get on that plane, I want a pilot that's classified and credentialed to fly the plane or surgery or whatever it is. So he uses his freedom to teach the word of God, which brings ultimate freedom. Interesting. I was thinking of when Michelle and I first were married, we went to a church in San Jose, and it was really quite good. And I remember there was a young man who got up and gave a little bit of testimony, and he talked about his ministry. And he's a young man, about 24, 25, and he got up and he talked briefly. And you know what his ministry was? What he would do is he would go in, he would take wads and wads of money and tape it to his body. That's what he would do. And he would go into Sudan, into certain areas, and he would buy children that were slaves. He would just go into these, where these Muslim slave traders were, and he would just pack his body with as much money as he could, and then he'd buy these children back who were being forced to read the Quran and who knows what else. You know, but he was using his freedom to make other people free. That's a good use of freedom. Get those little kiddos out of there and put them in a place where they can hear the gospel. That's a good use of freedom. I think of the Sunday school worker, you know, where they're using their time to study for that message, and they're coming in and giving the gospel. The gospel is freedom. It's freedom. Gives them a shot to hear that gospel and to see a godly example. The nursery workers, they're working right now. They're using their freedom so we can do what? Hear the word. It's interesting about, oh, I don't know, maybe it was about 5 years ago. I was out in the fellowship hall and I was talking with somebody. And it was really interesting how the Holy Spirit ministered to me through this particular person. And it was beautiful. He was splashing Jesus. And I need to be splashed by Jesus. I need Jesus. And I was listening to this man and talking with him. And then I watched him as he listened to me. He was listening to me, his eye, I mean, just riveted, focused. He's a very, very good listener. What was he doing? He was loving his neighbor as himself. That's one of the most practical ways that can happen, is just to look that person in the eye and really listen to them. It really, really is. And it was kind of interesting that for the next 2 weeks, I was able to do that with other people. And why do I notice the contrast? Because I don't usually do it that much, you know. Listening is, you know, seriously, you know. And just by the power of the Holy Spirit splashing off that person into my life, you know, there was that role model. This is how you listen. Boom, I was able to do it just by the power of the Holy Spirit for about 2 weeks, you know. I kind of struggled since then, you know. Ask my wife, she'll go, yeah. That's right. You know? I remember one time I was driving tractor. I was in Salinas and driving tractor for a Christian brother. And I was out there driving and he's the boss. And so he came and pulled up to talk to me. And I was just having an okay day, you know. And it was really fascinating. I got off the tractor and, you know, to visit with him. And he doesn't even know this to this day, but he is a spirit-filled believer. And the joy that was splashed, we were just talking about whatever. I mean, nothing even spiritual. And the joy that splashed from that man, it was profound. I've never, ever experienced it before in my life. I was just having a common day, and here comes this believer. And I tell you what, I am so glad he was full of the Holy Spirit. He splashed on me, and I got to experience that. It was beautiful. And that's how I want to be treated. I want, you know, I want to be around people that are full of the Holy Spirit, because that's really how I like to be treated. Interesting, I was listening to a man recently, and he was talking about a particular instance in his family, and just very, very common teenage boy, you know, didn't want to do his homework, had some things problematic with grades and this kind of thing, and he began to get quite frustrated with the boy, and then he went back into his room. The Holy Spirit led him to pray, got on his knees, prayed, refocused. Then what happened? He went back in and talked with the boy, and what happened? Things got reconciled. Consequences were accepted. It was a very, very peaceful thing. See, being full of the Holy Spirit, he treated that boy how he wanted to be treated, and things moved along fluidly. I mean, being full of the Holy Spirit is very, very practical. It's very, very practical in the household. I remember one particular time, I had a resentment, and you probably never have. You probably read about people that have. But I had one, and I overcame it by the power of the Holy Spirit, you know. And then you know what? The devil brought it back. Imagine that, that dirty dog. And he brought it back. And I remember right where I was, you know. And I was right about to go out of my house. And, you know, I remember that, and it was like a barb, you know, one of those darts that he sends out. You know, I wasn't thinking of putting on my shoes or something. And you know what happened? You know what the Holy Spirit did for me there? He reminded me of this verse, and I said, it is written, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and the devil jammed. It is written, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I don't say that to say, oh, anything about me. I'm just saying, this is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is what he does in our lives. He brings the word up so we can quote it, so we can live that life. Because because I could not love my neighbor as myself if I had something against him, right? I mean, that's just totally the antithesis of Jesus. I mean, he loves those who hated him, right? And so it's beautiful just how that works. I think of a missionary who, lays his life down so other people can be free. And be freed from what? Either a false hope or no hope at all. And the Holy Spirit uses him. He's using his freedom to make other people free. I remember a friend of mine, he attends this fellowship. I love his testimony. He was out in San Jose one time and not walking with the Lord and quite far from it. And these Korean evangelists met him on the street and prayed with him right there to receive the Lord. And he, 12 and a half years later, he is still walking with the Lord, sane and in his right mind. Because those evangelists obeying the Great Commission to go out, you know, boom, they're loving their neighbor as themselves. And this man is my friend. I enjoy him. And he's, you know, he's living a life in Christ and he's going forward with Jesus because these guys chose to use their freedom to make him free. That's a good use of time. That's a good use of the tongue there. I think of prayer warriors. And, I'm so grateful for praying people. Really. It's really just amazing. I know for sure I would not be in my right mind if it wasn't for praying people. No way. no way would I be in my right mind. You know, they were using their freedom to do what? To make other people free. And in this case, it was me, you know. And perhaps you've experienced that as well. Holy Spirit prompts you to pray for other people. He's allowing you to work with him to make other people free there. So what does this all have in common in one sense? Well, obviously it's the power of the Holy Spirit working through our lives, but it all happens where? Within the body of Christ. Isn't that neat? You know, that's why fellowship is so wonderful, because I bring up all these stories just to kind of give you an example of what happens when the Holy Spirit is in the lives of people. What does he do? He makes people free. That's what he does. I mean, we think about the Great Commission. Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples. And he says what? If you obey my word, if you abide in my word, you're really my disciples, and the truth will make you free. He's got this whole thing worked out. He wants to see the whole world free. Verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. And so it's interesting that legalism really produces kind of a consuming, kind of gross ethos, kind of a community spirit. I wouldn't want to be around a bunch of legalists, honestly. I just don't want it, you know. And what can happen? You know, kind of things get quenched and people start looking at rules and all this stuff. And I don't want to go there. Bye-bye, you know. But when you've got people filled with the Holy Spirit, people get free. And it was interesting, you know, no matter from what side of the tracks we come from, I mean, the application for freedom, it doesn't matter where we came from. We could come from a legalistic background, or we could come from a hedonistic background where it was all sex, drugs, and rock and roll, or we can come from the happy paganistic background where it's kind of, oh yeah, everything's cool, you know. But they're still operating under legalism, and the law that they're operating it under is what? You know, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person. I mean, that is universal when we talk to people. You know, when you talk, it is. You know, when you ask them why they're going to heaven and this kind of thing, and they're doing well in their lives. I mean, they're very, very competent, normal kind of people, but they're still under that kind of law that the flesh delivers, that if I do good, God will accept me. But that's not what the Bible teaches at all. We need Jesus. We need grace, and grace alone. Grace and faith, you know. And so legalism is stifling. You know, I think of one particular man who he was in a particular kind of legalistic system there. And he just had enough. And he extricated his family from that. And, you know, it's interesting now. 3 generations know the Lord and are serving the Lord. He pulled his family out of that situation. And part of the deal that was going on there was in this particular denomination, they couldn't have a piano or a radio. And the irony is the wife got saved listening to a radio, you know. And the legalism was you can't have a radio and people are going to come by and check to see if there's a radio there. But what was fascinating is that that lady got saved and her children are saved and her grandchildren got saved because the father said, no, we're done with legalism. And so it's a stifling effect. So verse 16, so I say then walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so when we walk in the Spirit, we want to be, it's really about being dependent upon the Holy Spirit and, you know, to do His will and to be thinking about Him and to be conscious of the Holy Spirit. And I like what it says in verse 25 of chapter 5. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the Galatians who had tasted of the Holy Spirit at conversion, you know, were being led away by these legalists. But what Paul is saying is, and he says it earlier too, he says, you know, remember your conversion. You know, you didn't get saved because you kept the law. You got saved because you obeyed the Holy Spirit. You obeyed what you heard. And so he says here, you know, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. One way to think about it, the way I think about it, is that since you got saved in the Spirit, continue to walk in the Spirit. And the idea is stay in line with the Spirit. You know, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You got saved. You know what it's like to be full of the Holy Spirit, to experience Him. Now just stay in line. I teach fifth grade, and fifth graders, when we're walking in line, they kind of get out of line. But what do I say? Get back in line. And we, so we want to stay in line with the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? Very, very practical. Practically, we ask Him for help to be full of the Holy Spirit. But I think in addition to that, it's good to think on the Word. It's good to think. I like what Pastor Matt said today. He was talking about Colossians 3. You know, and as you go on further in Colossians 3, it talks about to be, you know, full of the Word of Christ. And so we've been given all that we need for life and godliness. And, you know, meditating on the Word, being full of the Holy Spirit is a great way to walk in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what? He's constantly teaching us. And so in terms of practical application here, just in the backdrop of what Jesus said in John 8:31 through 32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, "If you abide in Me and My Word, you are My disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so we want to use our freedom to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to make us free so that we can be agents of freedom for other people. That is really the best use of freedom, and that's what the Apostle Paul wants the Galatians to do, is to be free to serve one another. And one of the ways to do that is to meditate on the Word. Abiding in the Word and freedom really go hand in hand. And to ask God to control our thinking, because we want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We want His influence to be, the person of the Holy Spirit to be the dominant influence in our lives. And Hebrew meditation is quite cool. It's a very active kind of thing versus kind of the worldly meditation, which says empty your mind or whatever, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Hebrew meditation, it has to do with muttering the Word to ourselves. It has to do with speaking to God about the Word. In essence, it is communing with God in the Word. And the Holy Spirit teaches us that way. And I like what Warren Wiersbe said. He says, when we speak to the Lord about the Word will speak to us. Let me try that again. If we speak to the Lord about the Word will speak to us about the Lord there. So as we do that, He transforms our minds and makes us free. And I am so glad for those people in the body of Christ who have a freeing influence on me. You know, it's interesting, you know, being in a church and stuff. Sometimes you ever have a false notion of somebody and then you meet them and something changes? You ever do that? No, you neither. You didn't do okay. That happens to me once in a while. I think this about this person, and you know what? I'm wrong a lot, you know, and it's so neat when I bump into them and say hi to them or something, and they're full of the Holy Spirit, and what happens? Boom! The Holy Spirit sets me free from my goofball notion of that person. Now I'm free to enjoy them and free to enjoy the conversation. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, it does. It's real practical. Being full of the Holy Spirit and being free is really, really, really practical. It happens in the kitchen. Recently, I was preparing for this study, and it really is very, very practical. I was in my office there, and kind of finishing up the study, and my wife was off jogging, you know. She's a very disciplined jogger. She does it quite well. She's very disciplined. And so we didn't have any half and half in the house. Or as much as, she would want when she got back from her jog. And so, you know what? I'm finishing up the study and the Holy Spirit's like, go get her some half and half, you know. Because that's how if I was in her position, I would want the half and half ready when I got home. It's very, very practical. And so I was finished, and I went up and got some more half and half, and came around in the kitchen, and she said, "That was very sweet." And the how she said it was very, very sweet, and it blessed me, you know, just by her saying, you know, "That was very, very sweet that you did that," you know. But, you know, the Holy Spirit wants me to practice what I'm preaching here, so He gave me a shot, you know, to do it. And, one for 100, but I'm working, you know. I'm slow. But no, but I just say that to say that, that being full of the Holy Spirit and this business of freedom toward one another, it's really, it's in the kitchen. It is very, very practical. It's very, very practical. And that's one of the reasons why I brought up those illustrations of, you know, how the Holy Spirit was leading a person, you know, whether the Korean evangelist or whatever it is. It's because that's what he wants to do. He wants to free us up to be all that we can be in him. The best use of freedom is to use our freedom to make other people free. Agreed? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, give us the grace to be your agents of freedom and blessing to other people. And thank you for this time. Give us the grace to love our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand. Isn't it nice that Jesus really told us that all we have to do is